Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. Sliding in a little bit late again. I guess you probably are good news to that. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Had a little fender bender kind of a situation in my life here recently. Won't get into the details, but yeah. And then the last few days I was out of country dealing with some stuff, so you might have missed me on a couple shows. I didn't notify Tom one day. And anyway, so I hope everybody's good to have me back. And I apologize again for the delay in getting on the air. Seems to be my forte, what we do here every day, every time, all the time. I cannot say that the world has gotten a whole lot more mellow. While I've been gone, I have seen a lot of activity around the world, with, you know, Kim Jong-un and the whatnots. And I had a good friend call me today. By the way, you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. True Wealth is a full service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. That may sound a little bit confusing to you because I get emails from customers that I know and they say, hey, they go, my aunt, you know, inherited this big box of coins and needs somebody to go through it. And they'll literally ask me, is that something you do? Well, of course it is. We are coin dealers. That is what we do. We do go through coins. We deal with coins. That's our specialty. So don't ever be afraid to ask for us to assist you with coins or precious metals. Or the other thing that makes us unique is, especially myself, is a strong financial background. I've spoken a lot lately against annuities. I've spoken recently against this bank on yourself mess. Over the years, decades and decades in insurance and money and life, there's always some new scam going on. After I did the radio show on Don't Bank on Yourself, on they have this bankonyourself.com scandal going on. After the last show, I did have a lady call who had a story that was a little bit scary to me. She had put in, I guess, about $100,000 worth of her money into this thing, and she fell for the scam. And what they did is they took out of the $100,000, they started to withdraw a pretty substantial premium each month for a barrage, for an absolute multitude of insurances she never needed. So that's part of what this bank on yourself thing does. Just because they name it bank on yourself doesn't make any sense. What it's saying is, give us your money and we'll let you borrow it back or something. I don't know. But she explained to me that she was naive financially and that they had actually put her into a lot of insurance products that she never, ever would have needed. All kinds of stuff from disability to life insurances. And they, you know, they sold her all kinds of stuff that I wasn't fully, I'm not even still fully aware of. And what happened is she gave him $100,000, and then she wanted to borrow a car or buy a car. So they talked her into borrowing $140,000. You know, you think you're borrowing your own money, but you're not. You're using your money as collateral against a loan. So they have a 0% chance of loss, and then they still charge you interest. So it's really foolish. It's like, you, if you want to buy a car, then you borrow money from them based on the collateral of your own money. And then from there, what happens is you begin to make payments and you pay interest. And sadly, that interest goes to them, not to you. And so now you've given them a substantial amount of money as collateral. They're taking out an incredible amount of money per month in insurance premiums, which are pretty terrifying. And from that point forward, then they want you to borrow money against it, which they get more commissions. They charge you interest, which does not go towards you or your account. It consumes your account because you're taking payments out. So the point was, this lady said, I'm in big trouble and I don't know what to do. She said, I've been paying these premiums for, you know, about 4 or 5 years. And she said, they're big, you know, they're $6,000 or $7,000 a year. And, you know, you do that over 5 years or something, and you're paying $30,000, $35,000. She said, I borrowed $40,000 against my own money to buy a car. I'm paying interest to them. She said, they told me I'd be getting this great amount of return on my money, which I am not. She said, the market's really strong, and I really thought I'd do good. And she said, I'm not. And I can tell you, folks, anytime you get these fuzzy investments like this, these bank on yourself or annuities or whole life, you're never going to get the returns. They'll say, oh, the NASDAQ or the S&P is returning 7%. Would you like to be in the S&P fund? Well, of course I would. Well, yeah, the S&P in a certain window might have returned 7%, but the fund that they put you in doesn't pay that way at all. They just call it an S&P fund, and they have it capped in a number of different ways that you just can't get out of it. I mean, you cannot get the return out of it that you think that you're going to get. The real problem that she was facing now is that she's getting into a situation where she's running out of money. Now, what happens is, as she's running out of money against this thing, the debt that she borrowed, which is now getting to the point where she can't pay it back, so her whole hundred and some thousand dollars is now in jeopardy. She said what really bothers her now is they're explaining to her that she is going to owe taxes on that money. She's going to owe taxes on the money that she borrowed if it doesn't get paid back. If that goes into default, because she cannot afford it, she's going to have to pay taxes on the full amount. And if you understand this, the way that it works is, if you borrow money from a bank and you don't pay them back, it is credited to you on a 1099 as income, which means you now owe income tax on that income because you never paid it back. So it was free money given to you, and the IRS charges you a tax for that, which is just another way for them to get at you. So it's, so she's very concerned about what's happening to her there. And as I talked to her for a while, I mean, it was sad to see. It was exactly what we had discussed. And I'm trying to read through something here to pick the part where it talks about the tax credit. I'm reading through some tax law stuff here. Theoretically possible to buy a policy. And I'm just trying to figure out where this is. And I don't, my eyes, it's hard to talk and read at the same time, as I'm sure you can understand. It says you have to borrow your own money. You can access policy cash value, which is the source of the tax-free income statement. There is a caveat. You have to borrow your own money, paying the insurer interest, further weighing on your return in order for it to be tax-free. This is also why the activity isn't reported to the IRS. It's a loan. Hence, whatever interest you are credited will be further reduced from your financial or investment balance. So that's another way. So they're not, you're not paying the interest. They just, you put 40 grand against this thing and they just, they consume the interest on top of it as well. It's a little bit scary. So that they talk about how they move the money around and their high fee, the highest fees you can imagine. You can access the cash value, etc. Hence, whatever interest rate you're credited will be further reduced. Withdrawals are potentially taxable events. Okay, so if you withdraw money out of this thing, it becomes a taxable event. If you take out more than you put in, you're under 59 and a half years old, gains are subject to additional penalties, which is reported to the IRS. Finally, if you deplete the cash, this is what's important about these things. And this is what they try to push you to do in these, you know, bank on yourself or all these annuity accounts. Anybody who wants all your money, be careful, folks. Finally, if you deplete the cash value too much, it may not cover, listen to this, it may not cover the premiums necessary to keep the policies afloat, causing them to lapse. Okay, so what happens is, you give them all this money, and then they get you to borrow some money, and then they get you to pull money out and live on it, and they're signing you up for all these insurances, and they're basically, they're getting you to really consume the money, because if you deplete the cash value too much, so it no longer covers the premiums necessary to keep the policy afloat and causes the policy to lapse, the time to be aware of these limitations is up front. It says before you buy. Like many insurance products, once you're in, there are stiff penalties called surrender charges for leaving. The insurance or insurer usually pays very steep commissions to salespeople for pitching these products. And the back end charge is there to recoup the money if you decide to leave within a few to many years of buying. It said differently, when you realize the sales pitch we mocked up early in this piece isn't the full story and want out, big exit fees will make you think twice. Banking on yourself with a 770 account or 26F plan likely actually means getting a very low return on a high fee product. Save yourself the trouble and look elsewhere. Do not buy these investment products. They are a scam, and they will deplete all of your financing, and you will no longer have access to your funds. This is just one article I pulled up. The content contained, and it goes on and on. Jim Cramer, who is on, I think, CNN or whatever, who always screams about good buys and bad buys, he screams against these things. He says, don't touch it. It's foolish. It's bad. So I've covered that issue for a couple days. Just covered it again. Folks, don't look. You know, I'll get ladies that will call and call and call and call. And they're always looking for one more thing. They want to talk to everybody. They think they're doing the right thing by talking to everybody out there. Solomon said money is the answer to everything, right? Money is. Now, there are basic, real investment strategies available out there, and where you just park your money and there it lies. And that might sound boring, and I've heard ladies say, well, my money was just sitting there doing nothing, and I wanted it to do something. That's what salespeople do to you. Oh, your money is doing nothing? Well, let's get it doing something. Why do they want to get it doing something? Well, they want to get it doing something so that they can start making money on it. You don't need your money to be doing something to make money on it. God made a system where wealth is wealth, okay? You know, assets are assets. And I'll be honest with you. The truest form of wealth on planet Earth is precious metals. And today we're going to go over that. You know, I talk about the biblically attributed assets, gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Those kinds of things are definitely, you know, they're most definitely true assets, true wealth. But the one problem with them is the fact that the taxes are terrible. I mean, I actually just talked to a guy who has been very fortunate in buying and selling businesses and over the years and getting them turned around and making huge money. But he had a house in Florida that he sold for $19 million. He was paying $300,000 a year in property tax. I mean, folks, that is wrong. And we're brainwashed to think, well, heck, if he can afford a $19 million house in Florida, then by golly, he can afford $19 million a year or $300 million a year in property tax. But that is not constitutional. The point of this country was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which started out as life, liberty, and the ownership of property. Now, those numbers might, you know, not jive with you because you're like, well, who cares about some guy who had to pay $300 million in real estate taxes? But seriously, folks, do you really think that's fair? I mean, do you ever really own your home? I had a good friend who used to always say, if you think that you own a house, stop paying for it. Whatever it may be, if you have a mortgage on it, stop paying the mortgage. If you have a, taxes due on it, stop paying the taxes. He said, you know, give it a shot. See how well it works out for you. And you will find out shortly that you do not own that house. Which to me, I'm kind of this old school libertarian. I don't even know what to call myself. I've thrown the libertarian term out. I've been beat up for it pretty good. I don't know what to call myself. I don't even know what I am in this world. I'm concerned, to say the least. I'm alarmed. I don't want to just be a banging, or as it says in Corinthians 1, you know, a clanging cymbal or a whatever it is, a banging gong, or you know what I mean. He says, if you have not love, you're nothing. I don't want to be that. I do want to be a watchman on the tower. And folks, there are 1,000 wrong ways to the wrong road, okay? There are 1,000,000 wrong roads. So when it comes to you investing your money, and if you want to be a fool and you want to call every single person who has a radio show or runs an ad and you think you're gaining wisdom, and you realize that person's entire goal is to sell, and you think, do you really believe you're gaining knowledge, or are you just gaining a lot of people's bias and seeing people's frustration the way you bounce around? I love to help people financially. I believe in it. I love it. I crave it, okay? I honestly have been doing it for a long time. I am an old Montana boy. I believe in ethics and integrity. That's why I have the guts to write honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction as my company motto. I want you to do well. I literally want you to do well. I do not want me to do well. I hope to God that if I treat you right and I bless you and I give you good advice and I treat you right, I hope that God will bless me back. That's my goal. But at the same, you know, I'm not in it for a nonprofit, but our gross profit, I just dealt with a guy here recently on a bunch of gold nuggets, and he's a banker, and he realized, he said to me, he goes, Kevin, I just looked through your books. He goes, I realize that your gross profit is in the single digits. And he said, I want to sell my mom's, it was a tremendous estate. He said, I want to sell this to you guys because I've seen your profits. I looked at your taxes as a banker. And he goes, I can see where you're not making crazy money on people. You're treating people very fairly. And I said, thank you. I respect that. That really is who we want to be. We need your volume to do right. Folks, we need to do what's right to do right in this business. We really do. I mean, we have a responsibility to take care of you, the customer, and I am a steward of your money. And I have a slew of different paperwork that I'm going to dig out here. And I'm going to actually try to go back to the basics, which is really hard for me. So what I'm going to do early in the show is I'm going to try to integrate reality of investing in metals with what's going on in the world. And I'm just going to bounce through some things that affect gold. I had a good friend who called today from another state, and we were talking, and he's buying some more gold and silver. But he said, Kevin, what's going on with gold? What's going to happen with gold? And I said, Lee, I said, you know what I know. I said, you know that this world is in turmoil and chaos. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want peace. And I know that the peace comes from the Lord, and I know all that. But I literally, on a global basis, on the world we live in, I want peace. I want to know that I'm doing the right thing. I want to be prepared. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to live with regrets and wish I did some different stuff. And, you know, there are real estate people. There's guys with big bucks that do this, that do that, that think they know this, they think they know that. We had a, we have a nice house on the water. We've considered selling. We had a guy looking at it. There's, you know, knowledge in an arena is powerful stuff, because if you don't know anything, you can drive into an area you've never been, and you can buy a house that you think looks great, and everyone else in the area knows the thing is cursed. There's a house out there like that on Coeur d'Alene Lake. It's a huge marsh. It appears like a ranch. You can't really even get fair water access. And it's just not a liquid asset home. There are other homes that are on what are called the Gold Coast of Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, where, you know, they may have 200 feet of frontage and 5 acres, and they're right where Post Falls turns to Coeur d'Alene, and they're nice houses, and they don't have, you know, too many acres. They might have 4 or 5 acres, but, you know, they're hotcakes. I mean, they sell like hotcakes, and they don't, you know, they look, you just have to know the area. You got to know what you're doing. You got to understand, you know, what south facing is and the value of that. You don't want to get stuck in a black hole all winter long. And you just don't know. I mean, that's why you want to rely on somebody who's wise, who's got knowledge. You definitely want to rely on somebody who's got the knowledge and the wisdom. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Once we do that, we can grow. And I'll tell you, just as a side note, one thing to be real careful about is if you find yourself finishing people's sentences, it's usually a good sign that you're not listening well. I've seen that a few times in talking to people. And especially if you're finishing sentences and you're finding yourself wrong a lot, that's a good time to probably quit doing it and to just start to just listen. It's okay to listen. It's a strength to listen. And there are people out there that have tremendous amounts of wisdom. And it's a good thing to listen. Biblically, it's a very good thing to kick back. There's even a verse that says, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And so the moral of the story, folks, is keep your mouth shut when you can. You know, you want to be a good, gracious speaker, but you just, it's a good to listen. It's good to learn. And there's so much to know. And a lot of times it's just changing perspective. There's, I don't know if you've all met the people that'll know the facts, but when they speak them, they take all the fun out of it. I had a pastor friend like that who you'd say, oh, I read this super cool scripture and it really spoke to my heart. And you could really tell him, man, this just really transformed my life. And he'd say, that's not what that means. In the Greek, it means this or that. Well, that's, and he wouldn't be accurate. He just would have to be right. And a lot of times it would nullify the spiritual context of what that scripture had just done. And you have to understand the scripture of the Bible is a holographic scripture. It's a holographic writing. And what I mean by that is it's God's way of, you know, you can look at a scripture 1,000 different ways on 1,000 different days with 1,000 different issues on your mind. And then it'll have 1,000 different meanings. We've all seen that, okay? And when God gives us his wisdom, we actually change our perspective of what he means. So, without further ado, and without me doing what I always do, I am going to do a little thingy on the reasons to own precious metals. Okay, we're going to call them precious metals assets. We're going to basically say that right now the market is absolutely rife with value. We have got beautiful in portfolio material built up, ready to go. For the most part, I've got more work to do, but we've got a lot of really good quality product. And over the years, one thing I've found over the years in my business is when people buy good stuff, man, does it pay off over time. I mean, I'm blown away. And when people buy, you know, just junk, over time they may make a gain here and there, or two, or three, or whatever. But in general, you know, and I'm not talking about junk silver or just gold bullion. That's always good because it's God's money. Like I said to a friend of mine, I said, you and I both know the gold and silver is always going to be there. It always has been there. It is a firm thing. Now, you've got this idea that, you know, when you don't do something or you don't experience it, you're just sure how good you would have done. So what I first want to encourage you to do is if you have a significant amount of money, and say you had $100,000 and you just cannot stand, oh man, you wish you're in the stock market and you don't want to miss out and you want mutual funds and you want all this stuff that everybody's got. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, go do it. Go take five grand, 5 or 10 grand, maybe 5 or 10% of what you got and you go for it. You go get it because I want you to ride that storm out. I want you to know what it feels like, but don't do it with all your money because I have been there and I have done that. But don't just take my word for it. Go watch what really happens to your money compared to what the numbers say is going to happen to your money. Think about it. please, I encourage you, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, whatever, but not annuities, not whole life, not bank on yourself, not universal life, no annuities, folks, no annuities. Why do I say this? Not only are they the biggest ripoff on planet Earth, but here's the problem. Surrender charges, okay? You can't play with them. You can get lied to. The salesman can say whatever he wants, and until you sign the dotted line, there's nothing that sticks, number one. Number two, once you do sign the dotted line, if you don't know what you're doing, folks, it's just not good. Please, for me, just, you know what? You can, you know, it's up to you. You listen to people and you decide who you trust. I propose myself as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Of course, they will too. I propose myself as somebody with a very strong financial background, all the way from college education and post-grad economic studies and, you know, hardcore, you know, a track record of production in banking, okay, where I've done it. I've been successful at it. I've been in actuarial science. I've been in the insurance industry. I've even done bail bonding where I've chased people through houses and kicked down doors and had to capture people that skipped bond on my dad's business. And there's other stories there I won't get into, but I've done all that. And I believe that God has blessed our business. He's lifted us up. He's done good to us. You know, and I'll admit I'm not always here, and I want to know if I'm not, and things don't feel right, please leave a message so that I can get back to you. But what I want to continue with today is very simple, reasons to own precious metals, okay? So let's just think about why we would own precious metals. What are precious metals? Precious metals are an element that for some reason God created. They have a completely unique properties, unlike any other element on Earth. They don't tarnish. They don't oxidize. Silver will oxidize some. Gold does not. Okay? It just does not. These elements will last. They outlast every naturally occurring substance on Earth. Okay? That's gold. You drop gold in the bottom of the ocean, one of the most corrosive environments on Earth, and you pull it out many, many years later, decades, centuries later, and it's going to have a little patina on it. It's going to have barnacles and stuff growing on it. But once you pull those barnacles off, guess what you get? You get nice, brand new, pure gold, okay? Now, if I knew a little more, I'd be a happy camper digging this stuff up from the bottom of the ocean. I do wish that I had one of these minds that can figure out how to become a billionaire, not because I love money, because I love people. And I would love to be able to do just incredible things for people financially. So anyway, we've got reasons to own precious metals, okay? We've got the world's economic and political climates have been completely transformed since 9/11. Okay, now that's getting to be a while ago, isn't it? I mean, we're talking 17 years. But, and you know what's crazy? We've got generations now that are gone. I mean, we've got people that are, you know, that don't even understand how the world changed. That's kind of scary that you know, people don't know that. That there's generational forgetfulness. You know, I've seen, and I can't remember them, but there's Bible verses on generational forgetfulness where this is how, over time, these agendas are, you know, effectively placed on us, okay? And we get duped. And it's very important that we realize that we can be duped generationally. The devil doesn't quit. He doesn't just work one by one. You know, he's got, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, you know, rightly handling the word of truth. This is what we need to pass on to our kids, is that we don't forget things. We keep them in mind. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And, you know, if we forget who God is and we forget what God's done, we need his help, okay? We cannot have generational forgetfulness. And I say that because 9/11 was 17 years ago. And, folks, the world before and the world since, nothing in common. I've always carried a knife. A lot of it's from martial arts background. They used to let me carry like a 5-inch blade on a plane. And then they convinced us one day on September 11th that some guy with box cutters took over planes, destroyed buildings, you know. And if you go to 911 Mysteries, which is old information now, there's so much stuff. It's gone. It's over. It's past. Everyone's forgotten about it. It's done. Okay? So we don't even get held. There's no accountability left for what took place during that event. So the problem with that is that we repeat our own mistakes of the past. So if we look at the world's economic and political climates that changed on 9/11, and we realize that we are in this constant state of demise, of decomposition. We had George W. Bush, who stood up pretty strongly during the 9/11 event, because the fact of the matter is the people we blamed, you know, Osama bin Laden and everything, I don't think, obviously, he didn't act alone. I don't know. You know, he was one of their leaders, but he wasn't the guy. I mean, there's so much more that went into that explosion. They had that building wired and ready to go. We had Enron go down, which was the biggest company in the history of the world, loaded with cash, loaded, loaded, loaded. Investors had pumped their money in it left and right. No one knew what they did. But what happened was Enron sucked everybody in. It went down. The IRS and FBI couldn't believe it. They started to do a little more research. And they started to look a little deeper and a little harder. And they started to find that cooking the books, in other words, you know, making up stuff, was real common. It was real common going on. They had over 100 different investigations going on companies for cooking the books, okay? And then 9/11 hits. And then, mysteriously, 7 or 8 hours later, World Trade Center building number 7 goes down very far away. And, I mean, if you've been to D.C. and you've walked the walk, it's way too far away. It had no impact from the planes. There's no debris. There's no fallout. No way was it affected. But it went down like a pancake. Any demolitions expert will tell you absolutely, unquestionably, without any doubt whatsoever, it was an intentional demolition that took place. Okay, that's just what happened. And it cleaned up the evidence of all these Wall Street big boys who were cooking the books. Okay, all these IPOs, all these derivatives. I mean, we had created an absolute Ponzi scheme you can't believe. We put a bunch of people in control of a bunch of money. Corruption's nothing new. We made people millions and tens and hundreds of millions of dollars scamming us, okay? It happened. It's a fact. It just is. And then since that time, folks, we have this geopolitical situation out there that is It's transformed. It's tough, okay? So the world we're under is under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, okay? If that's the case, where do you want your money? Do you really think the U.S. is good? Okay, Donald Trump's doing everything he can, hypothetically, in his own mind, his fiat currency mind. He's a populist. He's not a conservative, and this is a huge concern. Conservatives know that you stop spending, that you have to control it. When you get in too deep, folks, there's been times in my life I got in too deep. I borrowed too much money or I spent too much money, and then I have to buckle down. Now, the hard part's getting my wife to buckle down, but that's another conversation. But there's times you've got to buckle down. There's no other way around it. Not us. We just keep printing money left and right like it's going out of style. And then when you add on top of that, our geopolitical economic situation globally, it's a mess. We've bailed out just about every country on planet Earth. We really have, okay? So we've got financial markets and currencies literally melting down globally. These are imminently impacting U.S. markets. Now, what's really sad is we had all of these currencies melting down globally. We bailed them all out. We bailed out Greece and Italy and, you know, and on down the list we went, and Brazil. And we bailed them all out. Now we gave them all this money-ish, and we built them up, and now we're hurting. So what's happening is the dollar is weakening. Why would we want the dollar to weaken? Because we want to become globalized. So Donald Trump is placing all these tariffs, and he's trying to make trade fair and uniform. And there's truth to that for sure. We've been getting taken advantage of forever. This is wrong. I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong. And when Barack Obama got in office and threw American exceptionalism out the window, my jaw dropped. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? America's not exceptional. We're not special. We're not the ones. We're not extra special. Come on, guys. We can do better than this. We are better than this. We are America. We're the greatest country on earth. Go to D.C. and walk through Arlington Cemetery and go to the Washington Monument and go to the Lincoln Memorial and look down the Pond of Tranquility and look at how they laid this stuff out and see the White House and see these helicopters serpentining in and out in incredible rates of speed and phenomenal handling. I mean, this is a very, very powerful country with an unbelievable military. Uncontested. I don't care what anybody says. Putin wants to act tough. Folks, he's not tough. We're tough. We are tough. America is tough. We've got our stuff together. We're tough. So just realize that. But that doesn't mean that it's the best place to invest. So we've got financial markets and currencies melting down globally, which we've helped bail out. We've got precious metals. Precious metals have proven. Folks, just keep this in mind. Instead of putting yourself through the stress and worry and wonder and all this stuff, precious metals have proven to be the timeless, permanent, respected, and pinnacle forms of true wealth and capital preservation in all civilized society, enduring every hardship of human history. Now, that may have lost you, but I'll try to simplify it. Precious metals have proven to be timeless. Okay, that means that they're not trendy. They don't come and go. They're always there. Permanent. Okay, they've never changed. Just like God, he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Precious metals are respected. There's been no time in history where people say, oh, get your rubbish gold out of here. Okay, it's respected. It is the pinnacle form of true wealth and capital preservation in all civilized society that has endured every hardship of human history. Okay? So every hardship, every bad thing, every tough thing, every struggle, every challenge, guess what comes out the other end shining like the sun? Precious metals. Every single time. No exceptions. None whatsoever. Okay? All the way back to Solomon. Now, why in the world would you waste your time chasing all this other stupid stuff around? Now, I was talking to a good friend of mine last night, big real estate guy, okay? He's got tons of income real estate, and I was talking to him, and I said, hey, I said, is there stuff out there you can get a cap rate of 10% on? He just laughed. What that means is there stuff that I could invest in that I would get a 10% return on? After all the expenses and all the overhead, he said no. He goes, cap rates are 4 to 5%. Commercial or residential. I said, well, what if you build and then lease? He said, nope, cost is the same. I said, you got to be kidding me. People are putting all their money into investment real estate. That means if you had $300,000 right now, that you would put all that money into a house to invest, a real estate income, and you'd get a 5% cap rate. You know what that means? That means that on $300,000, you're going to get $15,000 a year. And what you're going to have to do in the meantime, you're going to have to maintain that place. You're going to have to change the roofing, fix the doors, fix the plumbing, change the carpet when it's bad. You're going to have to get a new tenant when someone quits on you. You're going to have to be over there barking at them to mow the lawn. You're going to have to make sure that they tighten it, you know, that they remove their hose bibs in the winter so you don't have a big freeze-thaw problem. You're going to have to fix broken hot water heaters in the middle of the night. 5% doesn't work, but this is what's going on. And folks, on top of all this, now let me tell you something. This seems to be where the asset value lies. So, what happens if you buy precious metals? What kind of return are you going to get in this dry, quiet market? You're realistically going to be getting 5 to 10%, 7%, whatever. But you just buy it, you own it, you put it away, and you park it. And you're done, and you are secure. You have wealth. You are done. You quit waiting around for someone to say, hey, your money's doing nothing. You know, folks, I'll tell you, you know, people are like, well, I don't know numismatic coins. You know, I'm not real knowledgeable on numismatic coins. And I tell you, we are. Okay, now I'm not telling you put it all in there, but, you know, a little balance. We'll build a nice little precious metals-based portfolio, and then we'll throw a couple little special coins in that are going to outperform the rest, but we don't want to spook you. But, I mean, an 89 Carson City, I'm picking dates, okay? I used to have a standing order with every coin dealer in a four-state region. I used to say, I will buy every 1893 S Morgan dollar that you get, and I will pay you gray sheet ask, okay? At the time, that was full retail, okay? I was buying these things at $600, $800, $1,000, $11. I was paying $1,200 for an extra fine. An extra fine today is worth about $10,000 to $11,000, okay? The ones I was paying $600 for are $3,500. They were good. 89 cc's. I remember buying, well, I bought a lot of them, but an 89cc Morgan right now in AU58 is worth about $18,000-$19,000. I mean, I remember picking them up for $2,000 retail from another dealer. I had an 89 Carson City dollar and MS64 proof light that I got graded. And I bought it from a local customer for $6,500. that coin today is worth about $75,000. And we're talking over 20 years, okay? So, and I could go on and on like this. What I'm telling you is there's so much good material out there. What's really crazy is you get, I mean, I do not want to confuse you, but you can get rolls of extra fine. 1921 was a weird year in coins, okay? 21 walkers, walking liberty halves are rare. 21 peace dollars, the first year of the peace dollar, rare. 1921 dimes, rare. 1921 quarters, incredibly rare. 1921 S, buffalo nickels in high quality, good, rare. So, you know, I used to collect 21s. And, I mean, we have rolls of, like, 1921 S coins that are very well priced. And, you know, and we'll add those into a portfolio simply just as part of a long-term investment. I won't get into much more, but I just want you to understand we have a rhyme or a reason and a purpose for what we do. We really do. We really have a purpose for what we're doing. It's not an accident, okay? And so what I'm saying is trust us. Trust us. We are backed up biblically with what we do. There are only certain sectors, gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. I can tell you from growing up in Montana and being exposed to cattle ranches, you don't want to get into livestock. That is not my point. Literally, people listening to me, I've heard it all. I have heard people literally go out and buy cattle because they said, well, you said livestock. I mean, folks, it's so much work and everything's in volume. But you know what my point is? There's only one asset that is anonymous. It's completely anonymous. It's completely transportable. It's completely liquid. It's recognized worldwide. I met a guy, crazy as could be. This guy had a business, a huge business in Singapore. And he, believe it or not, had a bad thing happen because it's a corrupt area. He was doing very well. He was making swimming suits, huge quantities. A whole bunch of guys from Singapore, apparently, that knew the judge and everything, they broke in and they stole everything he owned, everything, and they broke the business. And he got together some guys to go get it back. They locked him in prison for four weeks, and it was the worst 4 weeks of his life. And they tried every dirty, corrupt deal to get him to sign. He wouldn't do it. He finally got Lloyd's of London, the insurance company, to semi-back him up and get him out. 10 years later, 10 years of a lawsuit, 10 years of people telling him you'll never prevail, 10 years, he got $65 million. Why? Because they busted his business that bad. Folks, when you buy stock, you're betting on businesses performing in a good economy. So forget about it, okay? Precious metals have grown over 4,000% in we're almost at 50 years now since they were deregulated. Okay? That was in 1971. That's almost 100% per year average, 80% per year. Now compounded, it's only 20. But 40, almost 50 years of that kind of return, and yeah, they're up and yeah, they're down. And folks, don't listen to the deception. Just do what God says. God gave you true wealth. I mean, let's be honest. Would you rather inherit a big box of pure gold coins? Okay, let's go down. Gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Would you rather inherit a great big box of gold and silver that you can walk down and liquidate right now? Or would you rather inherit 1,000 head of cattle, right? Or would you rather inherit some kind of great big ranch that you don't know how to run that is unbelievable? I actually know of a situation going through this right now. Human life, Would you rather inherit a great big business where you need to step in and start managing people and you don't even know the business? Or precious stones? Precious stones are cool, but where do you go with them? I mean, honestly, folks, I literally have a 5-gallon bucket full of precious stones that have been extracted. Oh, you know, you don't even want to know the money I spent on those over the years, foolishly. Just piles and piles and piles. I mean, I have stones I paid $1,500, $2,500. I have so much of this stuff, I don't even know what to do with it. But it's not liquid. But I'll tell you what, the precious metals are, the coins are. They are liquid, 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 liquid. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Time's up. God bless. Take care. We'll be back next Friday. Bye-bye.